It's all right. I didn't need it. I got the notes. I got the notes. I know the blanks. Well, it's okay. Thank you. Oh, thank you, dear. Who do you have speaking into your life? I forget to tell you when you're supposed to answer and when you're not supposed to. Oh, gosh, God is good. During these past 4 months, I've been doing a little extra study, and one of the exercises that I do is I look back over my life and I map over to see the highs and the lows, and the moments when I've coasted, and the moments when I've leaned in, and the moments when I've grew substantially. And as I review, there's one pattern that becomes very, very clear. The times where I grew significantly, there were always mentors who were present in my life, who were investing in my life, who were speaking into my life. And the times that I pulled back or made wrong decisions or just coasted were times when I acted on my own without a mentor. A lesson well learned for me. In the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, the law of the inner circle says that a leader's potential is determined by those closest to him or to her. Or as my mom would say, who you hang with is who you're going to be like. So you better choose your friends wisely. So don't answer this question, okay? How many of you here today have had some wrong friends in your life? Just put up your hand. How many of you have had some wrong friends in your life? You should all put your hands up. They're not sitting next to you, so I don't have to worry about that part, all right? Here's the good news this morning. I want to introduce you to someone who knows you intimately, who loves you unconditionally, and has greater dreams for you than you can even imagine. He doesn't run away from you when things get tough. He does not abandon you when you're in the middle of a trial or a test or you're waiting for a senior pastor. He's my shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. And the Word of God clearly states that we do not have to go through life without a shepherd. So my question this morning is, why am I trying to maneuver the events of life without a shepherd? That's what some people do. Imagine with me what life would be like if you and I had listened to the shepherd's voice instead of trusting our own instincts or the voices of people who want to speak into us, but they only have their own interests. They don't have our interests at heart. You see, we live in a world of uncertainty. The economy, we all own a pipeline right now. Just don't know if you know that yet. Some of you don't listen to the news, so that's okay. Let me be the bearer of good news. You own a pipeline. No, I'm just teasing. We have Donald Trump. There are sometimes friends of mine, I know several of them, that we're praying for five people right now who are experiencing life with cancer. That's difficult. Some of you have difficult relationships. But here's the question I want to ask you this morning is, do you have what it takes to handle what may come your way in the next 10 minutes? Now, what I mean by that is not what I'm going to be sharing, but every one of us doesn't know what's coming next, right? So there's two things I want you to fill out in your notes here. First of all, you have no idea what will come your way. You have no idea. You might think you do, but you don't. And the second thing is, you have no control over what may come your way. You see, here's some good news this morning. You don't have to worry about what could come your way or try to control what you can't control. You see, for the next several weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into the heart of one of the most quoted psalms in the Old Testament. And if I may, could I introduce you into a way of life? The way of a life of a simple shepherd. And allow my visits to Israel give you a keener insight to this well-known chapter that only has six verses. Can I bring a little Israel with me and share with you what I've learned in Israel? I wish I could take you to Israel tomorrow. It's the safest place in the world. You don't ever have to fear going to Israel, by the way. there's machine guns everywhere. And they're held by 19-year-olds. Now, if that doesn't scare you, nothing will. But in law, when you become 18 years old, turn 19, you have to give 2 years of your life to the military. So literally, everybody on the street is between 19 and 20, which is pretty cool. So I digress. I could tell you lots of stories about Israel. But I want to share with you, I want to challenge you. Would you do something with me this week, this month, the next month? Would you memorize this passage with me in whatever translation you want to use so that you know what this means? Because I'm going to start unpacking things that you've never seen before, because I never saw them before I went to Israel. So let's stand together and let's read these six verses. Now I have the New Living Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the valley, the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your comfort protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. Did you hear that? His unfailing love is pursuing you all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. May we be open to learning from it today. If you are, you can be seated. If not, you can keep standing. It's a trick. All right, follow along in your notes, please. Let's look at Psalm 23. In order for you to understand, here's what happens when I think about I need to get through this quickly. I start talking faster, and then it just doesn't even work. So I'm going to try to go slower. Okay, I want you to know two things about this passage. The first thing is about King David. He was a person who knew his God. He knew his God as a protector. He knew his God as a provider. He knew his God as a forgiver. He knew his God as a friend. And the reason why I know that is because of the next thing in your outline is because he spent time in the desert. Don't miss this. Write this beside the word desert. It's a place of trust. You see, as you study the Old Testament, you will discover that when men and women were in the desert, God revealed himself in profound ways to them. In the desert, you find out who God is, and you find out who you are. You see, David was a shepherd, and he understood the desert. And he learned many critical life and leadership lessons in the desert. And one of them is how to throw rocks. Now, one of the surprises that I had when our tour group was walking in the desert to find sheep, and by the way, when we went there in October, it wasn't the plush time of the year, it was actually the fall time of the year. We had to actually walk probably about 4 miles to find a flock of sheep in the desert, in the heat. And when we did, I got the shock of my life. Because I was thinking, you know, I've been in Sunday school for all my life. I have a picture of what a shepherd looks like. Do you have a picture of what a shepherd looks like? Think of the flannel graph that you used to look at. Beard, right? A shepherd is not an old man. In fact, the shock was that he was a teenager with a cell phone. Think about this for a moment. When David was tending his sheep, remember, he was the youngest of the sons. He was charged with watching over the sheep, and I also learned a great deal about sheep. It also helped us understand who we are. Let's look at this. What do we know about sheep? Well, one, they're not very smart. You ever done something and go, why did I do such a thing? Some of you did that this morning. People are not very smart sometimes. It's the worst possible time to faint. Listen to the story. In the middle of robbing a bank, this person fainted. Because that's what happened to a Beaver Creek, Ohio thief. The teller called 911 and asked for medics, but you have to applaud the man for his stick-to-itiveness. Because when the ambulance was en route, the suspect handed a note to the teller demanding her cash. You see, the victim's jewelry was missing, the electronics were gone, and the windows were smashed. And no wonder there was hysteria when the officer of the Calgary police arrived. And her French-speaking father called. And speaking in French, this thief said that she explained that all of this was a scam in order to get the insurance money. That's what this thief was talking about. But what she didn't understand was that the person standing next to her spoke five languages, including French. Found out it was a complete farce. Interesting. We're all like sheep, aren't we? Number two, sheep are prone to disobedience. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want to do what is good, but I don't. And I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Have you ever been on that train? I have. After I disobey God, I look in the mirror and ask myself, why did I do that? For the most part, I believe people have good intentions. The difficulty is when individuals are bored or have time on their hands, they usually get themselves into deep trouble. We're just like sheep. Thirdly, they're stubborn. You'll learn that when you have a two-year-old, when you're going down the grocery aisle in the shopping mall. I want that. Right? Have you ever wondered why in Genesis, when God walked through the garden with Adam and Eve, they told them that they could have anything in the garden except that tree that was in the center? Parents, have you ever told your children that they can have anything in the fridge, just don't drink the pop? And when you come home, what's missing? The pop. We're just like sheep. Fourthly, sheep are defenseless when left to themselves. How did I get myself into this mess? I did not know this before I started to study sheep, but perhaps you knew this, that when they're laden with wool, when they've got all kinds of wool on them, that they're top heavy, and that if they fall over, they can't get up unless they have the help of a shepherd. We're just like sheep, aren't we? The prophet Isaiah describes humanity in a way that people of Israel would have understood because they knew sheep. Look at what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise God, as we celebrated earlier, we know that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin and rose victoriously over death and sin. Jesus died for us sheep. Friends, I don't want you to miss this today. This is so important to you to understand that we need to start this series in Psalm 23. What David knew that you and I do not know is that, yes, we're not very smart. We're prone to disobedience. We're stubborn and we're defenseless. Yet the sheep knew only one thing. Oh, if we could just save ourselves a lot of heartache and pain, if we would just be like the sheep in this one way. You see, God in his wisdom knew that the sheep were simple. And the sheep knew that they only had one thing to do, to live, to be cared for, and to be protected. In your notes, don't miss this. The sheep only had one thing to do, to look to the shepherd. Look to the shepherd. When the shepherd moved, they moved. The shepherd was going to provide for them. We're going to look at that. The shepherd was going to be able to get them water. We're going to look at that. The shepherd was going to be able to take them through a valley. We're going to look at that. All they had to do was look to the shepherd. And they would live. So here's the question. Who are you following right now? Can you identify the voice whispering in your ear when you're looking for guidance and for direction and for confidence? Researchers tell us that most people in this day and age are people pleasers. So rather than lead their own life, we look to others to make them feel good about the decisions that we're making. The key point of the psalm is, David is saying this, is look to the shepherd. Listen to his voice. And here's your pattern. Here's your protector. Here is your provider. Who are you patterning your life after today? A politician, a pop artist, a pastor, a poser? Do you know the voice of God speaking within you? Can you distinguish between the Holy Spirit's voice and the enemy of your soul? Just an aside, this may help you get a great deal in discerning God's will when you're listening. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will always convict you. Or as another translation states, convince you that you're wandering away from the shepherd. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He always is like the prodigal son. Or he allows you, like the prodigal son, to come to your senses, to know that what you're doing is wrong. You see, the enemy of your soul accuses you of being condemned, tells you that you're worthless, hopeless, useless, that you might as well give up and stop trying to obey the shepherd. When you feel like all you want to do is get further away from God, then you're not hearing God, you're hearing the enemy, because the Spirit of God draws you in to him, not away. Then there's your flesh, your mind that always points out that you lack everything you need to fulfill your destiny. It reminds me of a story I heard about a man who was walking past the front steps of a church, and to his surprise, he saw the devil sitting there with his head in his hands, groaning. True story. You okay this morning? Are you listening? The man said to the devil, "Sir, what's wrong?" The devil didn't even look up. He just blurted out, "I'm getting blamed for things that I didn't even do." Here's the question. Why do sheep, you and me, need a shepherd? Why do we need a rabbi? Because in Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord is God, that he is the one who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Now, if you were to come with me and go to Israel, when we're in the desert, the Negev, the desert of Israel, we would wander out into the dips and the dives of the desert, where we would meet a small compound of simple people called the Bedouins. And the Bedouin basically means nomadic. And if you want to get a glimpse of how Abraham lived and how he was able to obey God by just packing up everything that he had and relocating, then you would understand it by looking at these people, because they could pack up everything up in a day and go. Here's what I know about the Bedouins. They know sheep. A Bedouin shepherd. What we know about a shepherd is what we learn from these people. Our guide told us a story on one of his visits with his mentor that they were traveling to a water hole where several shepherds had converged, allowing all of their flocks to gather together to the watering hole to drink. And all the sheep mixed together, and the shepherds mingled, you know, and they're fellowshipping, laughing with their sweet tea, remember? You know, they're having some fun together. And what they felt was, after a certain period of time, the shepherds decided to go. And so the young teens broke their huddle and started to leave in different areas from where the water hole was, because they're going to go look for some more food. And Mark was concerned that their sheep were all going to get messed up, because they were all mixed up. But to his surprise, the shepherd, each one of them whistled and called out, and their sheep moved quickly and followed their shepherd. Let me give you an overview of what we're going to learn about the shepherd over time as we look at Psalm 23. Here's some things I want you to see. Number one, they know their sheep by name. Number two, they know how to provide for their sheep. They're going to take them to green pastures, and green pastures is not what you think it is. It's not your green grass on the front of your house. It's not plush. Remember, we're in a desert. We'll talk about that. Number three, they know how to protect their sheep, because they understand they've got a rod and a staff, and that's significant. And fourthly, they know that the sheep are for pleasure and for profit, and he prepares a feast for them. Look in your notes. Rick Warren said this: "We are made by God and for God, and until we understand that, life will never make sense. You see, God understands that we're like sheep. He made us for Him. May I ask you to consider this very important truth this morning? Sheep who are smart trust their shepherd. In order for you and I to look to our shepherd and follow him, we have to trust him unreservedly. Trust where he will lead us. Trust how he will provide for us. But let's start where we need to. Let's look in your Bible to verse 1. It says, the Lord. The Lord. Now this is the word Yahweh, which is I am who I am. This is a personal name. Not Elohim, not Adonai. God, the self-existent being who was and is to come, who inhabits eternity, who has life in himself. This is such a sacred Jewish name, or name, that Jewish people will not even speak it. They won't even write it. It's so sacred. And I think this is a little odd until I visited the Holy Land and then I began to understand the people. And what we did was every morning we got up and we met outside the bus before we got onto the bus, about 15 minutes before we were supposed to leave. And we gathered there as a group, anxious about the day that we were going to take on. And when our rabbi, who was our tour guide, asked us to go and find a rock and bring it back. So I went and I got a rock and I brought it back. Some people weren't thinking, they got big rocks. And then they had to realize they had to throw them back. You see, when we each got this rock, and I held this little rock in my hand, and he had someone in our group read the next couple of verses in your notes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. This is one of the things I want you to get in your mind today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We declare these verses every morning and evening, just as the devoted people of Israel did, because in doing so, he taught us this important word. This, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, is the Shema. And you have it in your notes. I want to share with you today, here's what I don't want you to miss. I want you to daily declare your allegiance to Jehovah. You see, what they did every morning and every evening was they would recite Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Remember in the New Testament when the Pharisees asked Jesus, how would you summarize the Old Testament? What did he quote? This. Because he understood it. He knew it. You see, when you have walked throughout your day, you would occasionally put your hand in your pocket and you would feel the rock. Because here's what I want you to understand about what the Israelis do with this rock. This rock represents the day. This is your day. And all you have is today to live for Yahweh. All you have is today. Tomorrow, not here yet. Yesterday's gone. You see, there were many gods in Israel. That's why this passage says, "Love the hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." To be a disciple of Jesus, you have to align yourself with him and listen to his voice. And then notice what David said. The Lord is my shepherd. Is my shepherd. Now that's describing an intimate personal relationship with God. You see, not a shepherd, not the shepherd, but my shepherd. Friend, that's the only way you're going to be able to know his voice and trust him to follow him. Is know his voice. Listen to John's perspective of what Jesus said in John chapter 10. It's in your notes. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's such great news today, friends. My shepherd cares for me. Oh, I've got stories I could tell you about. Joy rides that I took. My heart that was broken. Standing beside my father's grave. He cares for me. My shepherd watches over me. He watched over my birth. He watched over my teenage years. He watched over me when I decided to follow him, when I went to Bible college, when I started my ministry. He watched over me, kept me from doing some stupid things. My shepherd preserves me. One little story. In my first year of Bible college, remember, I lived in Ontario. Bible college was in Saskatchewan. I lived with my roommate. He was from Tisdale, Saskatchewan. His name was Kent Little, and he was 6'4". There was nothing little about Kent. He was huge. And I remember, I think it was about the first week of November, second week of November, I got terribly, terribly sick. And I finally went to the doctor, and I found out that I had strep throat. And I was going to be laid up. And that was horrible, because in November, that's the most difficult time in the Bible college person's life, because that's when all the assignments are due. And I sat down with my room and I said, Kent, I said, I think I'm going to go home. I can't do this. I'm sick. I'm going to quit. Kent said, you're not going home, and I know why. Two reasons. Number one, I'm not going to let you. He wouldn't have let me out the door. He was that big. And he said, secondly, you don't have enough money to get home. And I'm not giving you money. So you better stay put. That's how close I came to leaving the ministry. You see, God preserves us. See, if you have a shepherd, then whatever happens to you in the next 10 minutes, there will be grass, there will be shade, there will be water, there will be rest. But I want you to know today, in fact, if you just want to come with me on a journey, pick up a rock and put it in your pocket. Not a big rock, a small rock. And just as you go through the day, think of the Shema. And when you hold it in your hand, go, Lord, my allegiance is to you and to you alone. I'm going to trust you. You see, because what you would do at the end of the day is you would repeat the Shema again, and then you'd throw the rock away. You know why? Day's over. Then you get up the next morning, guess what you would go get? You can answer that question. Another rock. You'd hold it in your hand, and you would confess the Shema. Because at the end of the day, when you would look at the Shema, your rock, and you would say the Shema again, you'd ask yourself, how did I live the Shema life today? Did I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my love, and all my strength? Or did I not listen to his voice? Next week, we're going to look at the man of principle, where we're going to look at three words: I lack nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. You see, here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Sheep who are smart, trust their shepherd. Because John said, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So here's my challenge to you today. Are you one of his sheep? Let's pray together. Worship team, won't you come? Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for helping us get a glimpse of what this psalm that we know so well really means. And Father, I pray that as we go through this psalm in the next 7 weeks, that God, you would just unpack it before us. That we would know that you are our shepherd and that we can trust you. So as we go throughout this day, and as we even converse about the conversation that Dave gave to us about where we're at in the candidacy process, Lord, may we not put our faith in our doubts, but may we put our faith in you and trust you to provide, trust you to lead, trust you to allow us to hear your voice as we spend time with you. In Jesus' name, amen.